The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The dominion of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, and they would not come. And again, he sent out slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made a light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistrusted them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him and the hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The word of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Today we have got a story which I think, as I read, many of you had a lot of questions. I had a lot of questions too. As you see that this text has got a lot of violence in it. And again, you can say this was quite a dramatic event. We see there are killings. There are someone who came without a robe is bound hand and foot and is thrown into the darkness. You may also pose some questions and say, but how did Jesus expect this person, especially when everybody was invited at the last, to bring a wedding robe? And again, in this case, where did everybody got the wedding robes when the servants, when the slaves, he has just gone into the streets and say, "Hey, come on, come to the wedding. Where did they get the robes in the first place?" These are important questions. But let me tell you my own experience as well. I've been to the wedding banquets, to the weddings, different weddings. And there are a lot of things that I noticed, but I also noticed one important thing in relevant to this text. I saw some tables with tags written VVIP, VIP, and all those kind of statuses on these tables. I've observed this. But so many years ago when I got married, the wedding planner sat down with me and said, "Pastor, we are not going to have either VVIP or VIP or any kind of status that you may want to talk about, because you are a pastor and everybody is VVIP. He has a point, isn't it? You are a pastor and everybody is a VVIP. I will share, as we go down this text, some of that part. Let me pause there and then I will continue with that story as we continue with this text. But let me go back to try and unpack this text. We want to find, as I said, this is a very difficult to interpret, and again, very difficult text to ask yourself, where is the gospel in this text? But let me try and unpack this text to all of us this morning. Let me begin by saying the nature of life, usually we give excuses. It's natural that we give excuses. And from time immemorial, people have been giving flimsy excuses in order to get out of things. That was true in the past and is also true today. We continue to give those excuses. But I want to pose this question to us this morning. What sort of excuses have you given when you were invited for a child's birthday, for a graduation ceremony, for celebrating a new house and the like? What kind of excuses did you give? Sometimes we want to make flimsy excuses to get out of the wedding. And I want to take you back to some of those Saturdays when you think of going, Saturday afternoons when you think of going to the weddings. And the last thing you'd want to do is dress up with some fancy clothes with a wedding robe that also goes with the event of this wedding. And you find some other people on such a day like that, they will give excuses like, I'm going to the golf, I'm going to the fishing, or I'm just cleaning my yard, all those kind of excuses. And sometimes you'll ask your husband or ask your wife or ask your children, what kind of excuses can we give so that we can not go to this wedding? But I would like to guess that some of us have fabricated excuses during our lives. And this is true about human nature. From the dawn of time, human beings have fabricated excuses to get out of doing something that we didn't want to do. And knowing the human nature, that's when Jesus now begin to tell this story. But I want to bring this story and bring it the Lucan narrative as well, so that we can understand this story very well. So I'll bring the Lucan story in this text so that we can understand. It's very identical. Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 24. You can read that on your own at some point. But I just want to bring, because there are events that I also want to bring in our text today. Jesus has been invited over to a home of one of the Pharisees who was a ruler, the biggest outfit in town. The ruler owned one of the big houses in the hills of Jerusalem with all other big shots of Jerusalem. Here, most important people and the biggest shots of Jerusalem would be invited. Jesus walked into Simon, the Pharisee's house, and noticed how the important people of town were trying to impress one another with their importance. Jesus saw this, he observed this, and in a blunt way, he said to the rich leaders, I notice that all of you are trying to impress one to each other, but it would be wise for you when you come into Simon's house that you'd be seated at the least prestigious chair at the far end of the table away from the host. And seeing you far away from the head chair, you could be invited up to sit near the worst. And Jesus went on to say, whoever exalts himself in life will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself in life will be exalted. And when Jesus bluntly said to the owner of the house, who was Simon the Pharisee, and when you throw a feast or a banquet, you should simply invite all these, you should not only simply call the middle class or the upper class, rather you should invite everybody. The maimed, the blind, the lame into the feast. And there was another man in this group. This man heard about what Jesus said, and he felt nervous. So he offered an inane comment to Jesus. Jesus, at a final banquet in heaven, it will be nice if all of us can break bread together in heaven. And knowing what this man was thinking, and knowing that this man's heart was not close to God at all, Jesus then told the following parable, and particularly to the big shots in Jerusalem. There was a king who had a son. The king was waiting for the day that his son would find a right woman to be married. Time passed, and the king's son found the right woman, the beautiful woman. Everyone knew that this was going to be a fabulous wedding. And the text says, they killed the oxen, the fatted calves, the lamb were prepared on a fine ram roast. They brought out the finest wine. They had planned this wedding for the whole year. And now come a day of the actual wedding banquet. The food was being prepared. The rack of lamb was busted with sauces. The food was being prepared and opened. Wine was opened. The bottles of wine are opened. The feast was ready to be served. And the king sent the servants out into the neighboring villages to tell everybody that the feast was now ready. We heard that the servant went up to the first person and said, the wedding banquet is all prepared and we are ready to serve. The first person said, I can't come. You can't come? Oh yes, I can't come because I've got a field with rocks. I want to prepare my field, so I can't come. And the servant, I guess he said in this conversation, you must be kidding. This is the king who is inviting you. You can't deny. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, but I can't come. And he went to the second. The banquet is ready to go. The roast is done perfectly. Come. And he also gave another excuse. I can't come. And he went to the third, and he said, the aromas of the wine bottles are wonderful. Please come. The lamb smells good and delicious. Come to the wedding banquet. And the man said, you know what? I just got married to a beautiful wife. No, I can't. I can't come. Please go and give an excuse to the king. So we are told that the servant went back to the king. And I'm sure he said to the king, I hate to say this, but the people are not coming. They all gave excuses. They said they cannot come. Now the king was so angry. He was so angry. And then he sent, we are told he sent to the people and actually said, nobody, none of this will come. But one of the incidents is that the servants were killed, and he also sent his troops to go and kill them. So this was a bloodbath event during this time. But however, the king then said to the servant, go to the streets, to the corners of the streets, to the highways, to the markets, invite everybody. Go and bring everybody, good and bad, the poor, according to the Lucan text, the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame to my party. I want you to find the poorest people on the streets and bring them to the party. The servant went to the alleys and back in the streets and invited. And those who were invited were glad for the invitation. They all came to the feast. The servant came back to the king and said, I invited all, but there's still a lot of room to be filled. And the king said, go back and compel everybody to come so that the house will be filled. This is the story. I'm trying to dramatize this story. But let me say something. In the time of Jesus, the society had certain social and economic barriers. And in the Roman Empire, 5% of the population held 95% of the wealth. These percentages also reflect the general ratio between the aristocracy and the general population. Ancient people viewed wealth as static and distributed according to divine will. So they held the social status in the same way. The rich and the privileged would always remain so, while the poor would always serve the well-heeled. Social functions, like a royal wedding feast, reflected the general social outlook. Only the privileged would gain the invitation. And the seating arrangement itself functions and indicated the importance of the guest in this society. The higher in the status, so you sit closer to the host, while the lesser in status sat further away. So one knew his place in society based upon his seat at the dinner. So Jesus told this parable. And there are three things that I want to highlight. There was the first shock to the audience that the king made these multiple invitations and the guests rejected. And both, this indicates that the king has got some weakness somehow. How would you invite people right when the things were ready? Otherwise, the reminder should have gone a day or two before that, not on the very day. This is a weakness. But at the same time, this event shows that people, by denying the king, it was quite a very shameful to the king and his status as well. So the nobles believed that they could ignore or defy king's command. And the second shock to his audience is that an invitation was done to the general population, now to everybody, not only the selected few, but to everybody. This invitation went out in form of a royal decree, which was announced in the marketplace. Through this decree, the king broke the social barriers of his kingdom. And the seats of the privileged were open to everybody. All were now equal in the eyes of the king. And all the upright and the outcast alike took advantage of the invitation. Then the third shock is that the place where Jesus preached gave this parable the final shock value. And the feast of the equals was God's kingdom. The vision opposed the general belief of the temple and Jerusalem itself. You would remember in terms of the temple with the different courts, those courts which signifies different people in those courts. And let alone Jerusalem as the city of God, and again, the city where the noble will be found. So this is very important. Now, let me say this thing to you this morning, my siblings. First and foremost, the purpose of this text is to be aware that being a Christian is like being invited to a wedding feast. It is like being invited to a party where you will have a great time. That is what it is like to be a Christian. Personally, as I said, I have experienced exciting weddings. And one of those weddings is my own wedding. More than 1,000 people came to my wedding. And this is why I said I will pause, because I wanted to tell you, what does this mean? Back home, or in other most of the African places, you only send the invitation cards to the friends who are far away, to other cities in diaspora or in so and so. You don't send invitation cards to your church, because everybody is a guest. Like I said, I was told, everybody. So you can imagine, I was a pastor of a church which had more than 300 congregants. So everybody, 300, they're automatically part of the guests. And my bride, my wife, her congregation had 400 people. All 400 are invited to this banquet. My mother's church, where my mother lives, 300 guests, all are invited. And so even the parents of my wife, everybody from their church, everybody is an open invitation. Let alone the village where I come from and where the village my wife comes from. Everybody is invited. Automatic. You don't send the cards. Everybody would come. So you can imagine, we had over 1,000 guests at our wedding. But one thing that excites me on this wedding is that there were also beautiful songs that were played at this wedding. And let me tell you, there are two good songs that I can just share with you that I liked on our wedding. One song is called, in Isotho, South African language, it's called, I know Jonathan has sung this song sometime. The song is called Hlonolofatsa, meaning we are blessed. We are blessed. It was like an anthem at our wedding. Everybody would dance. And the second song, and that song is by Bojo Mujo. And the other song, it is a wedding day. And this is by Brenda Fassi. Oh, by the way, I can dance. I can dance. So I was dancing this day. We were dancing. It was the time of celebrating and dancing, right? Very important. So it is important to know that this is a day. And as Christians, we need to be happy, right? We need joy. We need to be happy when our kids get married and so forth. When our kids graduate, we need to be happy. We need that joy, right? We need also to invite our friends, our relatives, all those people to come and celebrate with us. It's important. We need to realize that. It's very important to do that. My brothers and sisters, this morning, some people may say it is not right to have much mood of happiness and joy, especially when there is so much starvation, when there is so much hunger, when there is so much suffering in the world. It is not right to be happy. Yes, in this world, there's a lot of suffering and much of starvation. But it is also the time for banquet. Joy in the middle of suffering. Joy in the middle of this pandemic. We need that. We need to understand. We need that. And this happiness has nothing to do with the accumulation of the middle class possessions. This joy has to do with knowing God. Knowing that our hearts belong to God. Knowing that you and I will be with God forever. But then the text goes on to talk about people always make excuses. People are always making excuses why they do not want to be part of God. Excuses why they don't want to pray. Excuses why they don't want to be part of the church. And excuses of why they don't want to help make the world a better place. People have got 1,001 excuses. And these excuses are there even today. But at the heart of this parable is that we are invited to be in fellowship with God. We are designed to be in fellowship with God. And animals do not do that. But we are designed to walk with God and talk with God. But sometimes we give those excuses. I've got a job, a new job. I've got this, and all those kind of excuses. But Jesus is saying this morning, don't you know? It is the King who has invited you. It is the King who wants you to be there and be part of his life. You and I are designed for spiritual relationships, and life is best when we are having that spiritual relationship with God. And the second thing is that we are designed in such a way that we are to make together this world a better place. People around us are starving and hungry, and they are our brothers and sisters, and we are to help in making their world a better place. And we should not give up. But let me further break down this parable in three things as I wind up. The first part of the parable is an invitation to the wedding. And being a Christian is filled with happiness, joy, and celebrating being at a wedding party. And the second thing in this parable is the excuses which people make. People have excuses why they don't want to be with God. And the third part of this parable is that God gets frustrated that people have so many excuses why they can't come to this party. And now God sends his servants to the alleys and back streets of life, to the poor, to the blind, to the maimed and the lame. People from the gutters and sidewalks of life, and bring them to the wedding banquet. We see that the servants does this and comes back to report to God that there is still room. And they compel the people from the street. There's still room, enough room for everybody so that the house may be filled. What does this mean, my friends, this morning to us? God wants his house filled with everybody, with the rich, the poor, the maimed, the blind, the lame, women, men, children, everybody. We are disciples of Jesus. We hear, even in this parable, the good news that God invites all, good and bad. Because God is a God who has got expansive and radical inclusiveness. And we as disciples, as we see this morning, especially in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, not only just how far God will go to make this invitation of grace, but also that God's words of love and forgiveness are more powerful than any words of punishment, hate, and fear. So this parable is very important to us in the notion that social hierarchies that we see are destroyed, and that the social place that we should have is the kingdom place. And it depends on us accepting the invitation. And God turned this social order upside down in the kingdom. As the king, he called many to his people and the leaders. And we see some they rejected. At the times, he was rejected with his own people. Let's use this opportunity as a means to spread God's good news of God to all, to the outcast and Gentile alike. And God raised the lowest to the dignity of his child. My brothers and sisters, God reaches out with love to us, and his love carries us back to him. And the faith is simple. It's a yes to that love. While God's love might seem faint and sometimes as absent in our lives, he still points us toward an ultimate destination, life eternal with him. And that is faith. The faith which is saying this morning and which leads us to that eternal life. May we this morning enjoy this invitation to the great banquet of Christ that he is calling to be part of. Amen.